Hey you, and welcome back to the Mood Lab. I'm so excited to share season 3 with you. I just introed it in a very small 7-minute intro that I recorded separately so that you know what will await you, where we are at, and where I'm at in my journey as well, because it is so vital for this podcast to know about that. And yeah, so I have the most wonderful guest on today. I actually thought about if I need to title this episode 1 now, because it's season 3 episode 1, but I'm gonna keep the count, so this is 156, and still we are opening a completely new chapter, and I'm so excited about that. We'll just have the most beautiful conversations again this year. I'm so looking forward to the 50 episodes that are to come for this year. And yeah, for everything that we'll explore together, for this journey that we will take upon us and that path that we'll walk together. It's just gonna be beautiful. I have a good feeling about it. I must say as well, I was reflecting a bit upon the past episodes in the past year, and actually it is so beautiful to reflect upon it, because when I'm tuning into different kinds of episodes that we've recorded in the past year, I can literally see my journey, and I can feel my journey, and I can see how I was slowly but surely entering into this new season, and how all of what is coming for us and all of what is opening up here, it was already making its way. It was already unfolding, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for God guiding me in this one and being my constant guide, really, knowing my heart, knowing where we are going together. And yeah, I don't really want to keep you long with this intro, so I'm just going to intro our guest. So today I'm talking with Martine. She is such a wonderful woman. It was so inspiring to talk to her. She inspired so many of my thought processes and processes in general that happened after our conversation. So I'm really grateful for that conversation to have happened at the point that it happened, and for everything that I was learning throughout our conversation and everything that I felt resonating so deeply within myself. Martine is supporting women to respect the masculine men and also in being a feminine woman. She's talking a lot about the biological feminine, what that means, and she's just such a beautiful soul. I talked with her about what it means to be biologically feminine, what the role and importance is to enter into relationship between feminine and masculine, and why polarity in there is so important, then the importance of the relationship with God as a foundation, and her thoughts on marriage and dating, and as well dating to eventually enter marriage. We also touched upon the desire to be provided for and courted, also just unfolding how we don't really hear about that a lot on mainstream media, but how that's such a feeling that is so deeply settled and ingrained in our hearts. It really was such a beautiful eye-opening conversation, like I said. And yeah, without further ado, let's get into it. Martine will introduce herself, and I'm so excited for you to listen to this. And please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you enjoy listening. Give 5 stars, because that helps so much for this podcast to be more visible, and I would be so freaking grateful. And yeah, without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hi Martine, I'm so happy to welcome you here on the Mood Lab and to have this conversation with you today. I would love if you could introduce yourself, let us know who you are, tell us a bit about yourself, yeah.
Yes, okay. So Karina, thank you so much. My name is Martine De Luna. I am a wife of 15 years now. I have 2 children, 14 and 8 as of this recording, and I'm a homeschooling mom. And at the same time, you know, when I'm not homeschooling and being a homemaker, I'm a women's mentor. So I've been mentoring women since 2012. I started off mentoring mompreneurs on personal branding and how to put themselves out there. And then slowly, as I began to learn more about what it's like to be a mompreneur, I started to delve into helping women and supporting them in their marriage relationships. Right. So that's kind of like what brings you and I together today. all of the relationship between the masculine and the feminine that remains to be like the main body of my work these days.
Yeah. I would love to know, like, was there a certain situation or an impulse that brought you or your own experience that brought you into this work, like to go there in this depth?
Yes, as always with, so one of my mentors, her name is Jillian Pothier. She has a wonderful saying, and it is, we birth what we believe, right? And so as a wife and a mom, my first priority is always my family, right? And even though I also had a business and still have a business, what catalyzed the whole introduction into the relationship between the masculine and feminine was a fracture in my own relationship with my husband midway through the first half of my coaching business. So at the time, I had been coaching for around 4 years, and my husband suddenly lost his job. So you have to get a little background about our marriage. We married and had very traditional, what they call gender roles. So my husband has always been the provider. I've always stayed at home and just did my own little thing on the side. So that dynamic for the first time became challenged when he lost his work. And that's when I started to, you know, like become more of like the provider in that, you know, next several months of the end of 2015 to 2016. And so that's when I also started to notice some interesting things about like our relationship, about how it didn't feel good to me as a woman to be like the breadwinner. So that was very interesting. The second was I was about 10 months postpartum when this happened. So I had a little baby girl and I was breastfeeding and I had 2 children under the age of 5. So that was also interesting. It's like, okay, providing for the family and then being a mom to 2 young children, this feels not good in my body. Yeah. And I should mention that this was also the beginnings of my descent into the concept of the feminine. Because prior to that, when I was coaching women on personal branding and how to put themselves out there, it was a lot of like your topside masculine personal development mindset work that was like motivating me and propelling me to coach women. When I experienced the, what I call the reverse of the polarities, where what's usually feels good to men to do, which is to protect and to provide, when that became something that I took on, and my husband, you know, he had to find like work, he coasted for a little bit, he ran our little small coffee business back then, it was very strange to me to not relax and to not be in more of like that yin type of like being in my estrogenic brain type of embodiment of the feminine. So I got curious as to why this doesn't feel good. And that led me down a huge rabbit hole of dissecting the women empowerment movement, dissecting feminist values, and did I really want to be a mompreneur, or was my body giving me clues as to what was really in my desire? So when my husband finally decided he wanted to go back into corporate and the roles were again reversed, so this was around 2018, about like more than a year of experiencing being the breadwinner, it gave me such huge relief. And by this time, I had already started to explore the polarity world of coaching and becoming very interested in what was biologically rightful in terms of what makes a man feel good when he's a husband and a provider, and what makes a woman feel good when she is the nester and the nurturer in the marriage. So that brings me to where I am now, which is I support women in different stages of relationship with the masculine. So
It's beautiful how you had the opportunity or the chance actually through your story at this window in your timeline where you actually saw how things would feel or are when it's kind of turned around. Because like you said, in the beginning, you kind of already, you had that kind of naturally to be more in your feminine because your husband was there to provide in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then without really being conscious about it, right?
Yeah.
But then having, okay, this is like turning around. Oh, how do I feel now? This is interesting. I love how that brought you into this space and exploring through actually experiencing it firsthand.
Yeah.
I really love that.
Yeah.
And at the end, you just said biologically feminine, biologically masculine.
Yes.
I think that would be something really interesting to explore. Mm. What does that actually mean? I just, for myself, a lot of things that you already just been saying resonate deeply with me. And what I was thinking about before we started this recording is that I felt for so many years, I felt so underrepresented by everything that I saw in the media. Like, I didn't see my personal views and what I was feeling. And also, and I think I shared this on here before in some other episode, I'm sure. Mm. But I also felt like I had this huge desire of, or I still have it, of getting into a relationship that has those biological
yes.
polarities. And when you talk about this to someone, especially I feel like my parent generation, it's like, oh yeah, but you have to be so, like, you have to be super self-sufficient because what if you're getting, well, like, what if your husband leaves you at some point? Or I don't know, it's like there's this whole, like, I guess, stigma around that you have to be, I guess, a masculine woman just to provide for yourself.
Right, right.
And so I would love to explore, yeah, what it means to be biologically feminine. And okay. Maybe you can also touch up on the biologically masculine side as well.
Yeah. So let's bring it into the context of why it's so important to use the languaging of biological. Because, well, you and I have been in the polarity space for quite some time right now. And what I noticed throughout the years in like the tantric space and like the sexual, you know, like sexual polarity coaching space is while we talk a lot about our biology in terms of like our sexuality and kind of like divine union, sacred sex, there was hardly at the time back in 2016, 2017, there was more of like the twin flame type of, you know, like belief system, which is fine. You know, I'm not one of those like people who disparage other spiritual lineages, but it's missing context because we are biological beings. We are male and female. We're not just masculine and feminine. And so to be biologically feminine is actually a terminology that is being used by the Germanic New Medicine community, which is actually a community that propagates the knowledge of our body wisdom in order to restore health and wholeness. Okay. So to be biologically masculine and feminine means that you look at your physical body, you look at your physical brain, and you understand how those two things work and how the coherence of those things brings you into very natural human behaviors that our species has always lived with throughout time and history. So a biologically feminine woman is one who can become a mother, right? That's the essence of woman. She births. She is impregnated and she births. And that's true of every female. Now, biologically masculine, obviously, is the counterpart to that. He is built and wired to protect and to provide. Meaning, in nature, if you look at what males do in nature, they're the ones that put their bodies in front of harm when they're trying to protect their offspring or their mate. They are the ones that are, in the terms of honeybees, I love this example. You go to a hive where there are male and female bees, and you'll see that there are dead bees around that honeybee hive. Those are the males. And God, I believe in God, so I believe in a divine creator, right? So God created like males, like honeybees, just to use that example, to be useful. meaning to use their bodies and their will to fulfill their purpose. So male bees, after they've mated, they die immediately, right? Just like female bees, once they sting, they die, right? So it's a very beautiful analogy of like the biological value and usefulness of male and female. And we have to start bringing that back into like the polarity space, because we live in physical bodies. We are like also undergoing in this timeline that we're living in right now, a distortion of what it means to be a man or a woman, right? And I don't have to talk in length about that, but we know what we mean when we say there's a distortion happening with what is biologically feminine, what is biologically masculine. And it's so important for us to restore the properties and the functions of females and males to each other, because that's a part of our healing with each other. Feminism, for instance, in the last 135 years, since, you know, the suffrage movement, since the time women fought for the right to vote, etc., there has been a constant attack in modern times on men and women against each other, right? This kind of ballooned during the sexual revolution, when women started to fight for their rights, like my sexual liberation, right? And so since then, it's just become like a snowballing of like women empowerment narratives, toxic masculinity narratives, like there's no value in masculinity at all. We have come to that place in time. And the result of that has been inverted relationships. You have so-called feminized men, so-called masculinized women. And actually, I don't even use that languaging anymore, right? I've come to refer to both as neutered women who are not in their feminine, neutered men who are not in their masculine. And that is also biological, because when you look at the, for example, like the brain scans of a man who is feminized, quote unquote, he's more in like the energy conservation mode of his body. And a very practical example of this are the men who sleep around with no commitment, right? A potent masculine man will look for a monogamous relationship that he can pour his biological purpose into, aka become a father or become a lifelong partner to one woman. This is what we call in the polarity space, like in the earlier versions of our space, like divine union, right? Similarly, women are designed to be the receptive pole of a relationship. And for a woman to actually grow in a relationship, she has to go deep. That's why our wombs are about capaciousness and space, right? But what happened when we started to go against these very biological dynamics is that it disoriented male and female's brains, right? Women started to become more territorial, which is actually a male trait. You know, it's very sexy and hot when a man claims a woman. That's become inverted in some situations, right? It's very like nurturing, and there's a feeling of feeling cherished when a woman is claimed and protected by a man. Yeah. That's also diminished. And so what I feel is happening right now is we look at our biology, we look at our physiology and see, okay, what actions and functions that we have normalized in society need to be restored to the proper sex that performs them the best. Yeah. So that is biologically feminine and masculine. Women are wired to be nurturers. Some of them, that will mean they will become literal mothers of children. Men are wired to pour in their will and direct their strength, their usefulness to something meaningful and purposeful. So what we're seeing right now is kind of like the remembering. You see the masculinity movement assisting men to remember that they are the innate protectors and providers. And then you see the femininity movement reminding women to go back to your feminine body, live by your your follicular, your ovulation, your luteal, your menstrual cycle. We are in a time of great remembrance, and it's all rooted in how God, the Creator, made our bodies to be distinctly male and distinctly female.
I feel like, I mean, this is just like at the core of what you were just saying. It's kind of like the pendulum just swung way too far.
It swung
and we just
far.
Ended up at the opposite side where we do not belong. And now it's like we see this whole movement of individuals trying to restore a sort of balance or harmony within that. And it's so interesting to me because I don't know if it has something to do with the timeline that we are on or what it is or what kind of energies are interplaying here. But I feel like, especially over the past couple of weeks and months, I don't feel like it has just been me like looking at the right places, kind of. It's almost like collectively there has been so many people starting to opening those doors towards, first of all, faith and God.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, okay, what does that mean for me and the relationship and the relating that I desire to live by or to integrate into my life? And what feels good to me in that sense. I would love if we could dive into that part of God as the foundation a bit, because I feel like, I don't know what it is. I can just share for a second what has been there for me the past couple of months. And it's so interesting because I was brought up Christian, and then I removed myself from the church and signed off in Germany. It's like a kind of legal process almost.
Oh.
And so you have to sign a document that you're not part of the church anymore.
Oh, is it? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because you, if you, so I was part of like the Christian Catholic. And you pay as a person while you're in it. And then if you sign off, you don't pay anymore. And when I was, I think, 19 or something, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't get this. I don't understand what they're talking about. I don't feel, even though I went to those like, how do you say, like the afternoon schools and stuff, I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And so I went onto my own journey. I went into Hinduism, Buddhism, and explored like everything that I could find.
Yeah.
Went to Bali and just like ventured out into the world.
Yeah.
And so at some point over the past couple of years, the word God in terms of like, I started to relate to this higher power again in the word God and started to use it again. And it felt really aligned.
Mm.
And then over the last couple of months, it's just a very interesting exploration that I'm on right now. I started to explore again Christianity. And this time I feel like I can understand a bit of what I'm reading,
right,
which is really interesting. And I find a lot of myself and a lot of my own personal values in the scriptures that I am opening and looking into, which I find is so beautiful. And yeah, obviously you can find those like values also in the other religions and everything. But it's just a really, it feels like a beautiful homecoming right now to explore that and to
definitely
really experience how this relationship that I'm currently building with God really holds me and how that also influences so many parts of my life. So I would love to hear from you about, after going on this whole tangent, about God as the foundation in relationships and in life in general.
Yeah. So I love that you mentioned that you went on a whole like evolution out of religion and into relationship with God. That's one of the fundamental parts of my work in helping women to understand why we go back to the male and female, like biology. There's a beautiful verse in the Bible that says in the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible, it says that male and female, he created them. And this tells the story of how, you know, like God created humans, you know, humankind, and that they were actually made for each other. And I love that because, number one, I found that in the Christian lineage, right? Because the Bible is like the foundational text for those of us who are following Christ or the way of Christ. So I found that to be really beautiful. And also, to me, how even the image of Christ or the embodiment of Christ is like that of a marriage, right? It says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, also in the Bible, which is in the New Testament, that husbands and wives are to relate to one another a certain way, in the same way that Christ died for his church, who is his bride. So it's a very overtly masculine and feminine dynamic to be as like the bride of Christ. And in Christianity, we believe that Jesus is God. And so when I looked at the entire, because I should mention also that I myself stepped outside of Catholicism, of Christianity for a time. And like you, I researched all the other, I think it's a journey of the feminine to go, like you said, on like the pendulum swing of, oh, that's not for me. And I'm going to go here. And, you know, like the whole, that's why Eat, Pray, Love was such a big deal back when it first shone. It's like it's like a representation of the feminine's experience of life and death and life. And it's a journey that we embody and that we experience. And for me, finding God outside of how religion had, you know, like framed God was what brought me back into wholeness with the whole idea of marriage, of complementary, like opposites of male and female, because the whole, like for me, the whole masculine frame of God was one who held the feminine within him. And I feel that it's important to have this kind of relationship with God as a person rather than just this, like, you know, infinite intelligent being that is genderless, which, you know, obviously God is. God is beyond gender, beyond like orientation. However, as human beings, we don't relate with something that is not either a male or a female. Yeah. That makes sense.
It makes so much. Yeah, it makes so much sense, because also how do you communicate with something that you cannot even imagine because it's so much bigger than you? So it is just, it resonates so much more to talk to someone, because that is what we are used to as well. And that makes it easier for us to communicate. And that's also why it makes so much sense that for Christians, for example, there's Jesus, because it makes it so relatable to have a sort of person.
Yeah.
Which for me, it just makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
One of my, I was with a couple client earlier today, and the husband made a very like profound statement about why God was such an important reference point and foundation for a, like a marriage relationship. It's because every relationship needs an anchor. And a relationship with God, with the Creator, needs an anchor too. And as human beings, as relational beings, we anchor our relationship based on the role of that person, right? So as Christians or as followers of Christ, we refer to God as Father. And of course, throughout time in history, that has been disparaged, especially, you know, like the Christian religion, because, oh, you know, that's patriarchal, you know, air quotes under the patriarchal distinction. But patriarchal includes the word father. And every family, to be whole, needs a mother and a father. So by demonizing something like, oh, like God is not a father, he's not male, right? And not calling him like a father, it makes it very difficult to heal that relationship between the divine and you. And so when I started to kind of like, and of course I went through all of these arguments inside of myself, well, of course God is the goddess, you know, like what is that? Reconciled me to the fact that in terms of serving me as a human being, that is embodying this cherished identity as a female, was to be able to relate to God in the way that I might relate to a human being who cherishes me, which is my own father. Yes. right? I'm a daddy's girl. I'm the eldest daughter. I'm the only girl. I have two brothers who take care of me. So I've lived inside the experience of the masculine coming through for me. And so when I brought it to that kind of like immersive experience, like I have nothing against like the goddess, you know, whatever that concept is. But in terms of like a relationship within a whole family, especially if you're a woman, you need the reference point of the masculine. You need the father principle to be able to anchor, right? To be able to feel that you are within the territory of a masculine presence. That's why women, we crave relationships. It's a concept and a felt sense of being claimed, of being wrapped around by something, right? It's different. A hug is different from a female friend than it is from a strong masculine figure. And so for me, at least in the way that I teach relationship with God, it is as father, because it relates to, like, in psychology, healing like the father complex, you know, which is healing your relationship with the masculine in terms of healing our relationship with the divine, the relationship with ourselves being created beings. It just landed that God was like a masculine presence, just like a father is a strong masculine and healing presence for healing the father-daughter wound. And the mother wound, you know, is another kind of like healing our relationships with other bodied people, you know, with people. Because female to female relating is more of like body to body, like the felt sense. The feminine is the felt sense of creation. She is like the heart and body of creation, just like the earth and everything created is within God itself. So I could talk for hours about this analogy, but that's kind of like why I have God as the foundation. It's like all of us are like the feminine heart of God in relation to Him. And we reflect that back to Him in our like worship, our respect, our love, which we also mirror back to like the mortal masculine or men and our brothers, our colleagues who are male, right? So when we heal the relationship with God through relating with Him as the masculine, there's a trickle-down effect to heal our relationships with men as well.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that. I also feel like, and this is just something that I started to explore only recently, is how when I have God as this masculine in my life, it feels like it's for me something to hold on to and to keep me safe and secure and like hold me in many ways.
Yeah.
And even so for me currently being in, I guess, the season that is before finding my person or before meeting that person for my life, it is just something so valuable to fall back onto Him and to be able to communicate with Him in that season to really hold me through that all, because it is something to navigate and it's not always easy and it can come with a lot of struggles and trials and errors and all of that. Yeah. And then going beyond that, going into a relationship, I feel like, because in the end we are humans, right? Yes. So we do have our, let's say, failures, our things that we mess up. And so having something bigger than us at the center of the relationship, I think, is of so much importance. And I actually had such a beautiful conversation this weekend with this 22-year-old guy, which is, it was really magical, because I was really amazed by how much into like how much knowledge he already brought with him in terms of how important it is to have something other than himself at the center, and also how important it is to go into a relationship not only because you fancy the other person, but actually because you're choosing to go into this relationship. And that was so interesting because 2 weeks before that, I had a different experience myself where a person rejected me based on, I don't feel enough.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And that for me was such an interesting experience because I actually in my mind had a really hard time to understand that because I was like, well, but if you would choose me, that wouldn't be an issue. I mean, obviously, it's a redirection, so no problem with that. But still, it was like really interesting to me. And then having this other mirror on the other side of being like, oh, yeah, actually, it is about choosing. And there's men out there who already see that or who feel that. And or let's say, I mean, not even already, but who are just a match to the way that you perceive this kind of dynamic, which I find so beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a really interesting exploration for me as well right now. Yeah. So, yeah, I would love if we could go a bit into that dating and marriage part, because it's just, I mean, it's just me being interested in that probably. And like a lot of women listening on here and men as well.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, how do we navigate that in this world right now that we're living in? And we touched upon this before. The world is very distorted in those ways. And often we go out there and we hear many people talk about open relationships and we love everybody and we just, at least in the environment that I'm in, that is something so common, which I absolutely cannot resonate with. And
there's a biological reason why. Yeah.
I would just love to dive a bit into that, how we navigate that.
Sure.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe if you want to go into that as well, like, if we then meet someone, like what are some things that we kind of probably might want to establish to like be able to actually move forward?
So primarily now with women and couples who are navigating like the dating / courtship phase of the relationship and the married phase of the relationship. And what's common in both situations is that both men and women need to understand the other. We need to understand female nature if we are men, and we need to understand male nature if we are women. And we also have to understand our own nature. A lot of people, they get into relationships, but they aren't able to relate because they don't know their own nature. They don't know what it means to be feminine innately. And they don't know what it means to be masculine innately. So when a person wants to, let's say, be provided for and courted, what we see a lot of, especially because we are part of a generation that snowballed in terms of like ideologies, because we had the media and then we had social media and just the speed of ideas that get programmed into us, especially in the last 15 years that we've had Facebook and Instagram and now TikTok and like all the things, the physiology of people has changed with that, sadly, right? And so by remembering who we are as men and women, we're required to have the self-responsibility to unlearn some of the distortions that we have learned. So let's say right now, what I see, and I was telling my colleagues this, I noticed that in the relationship space, people aren't even using the word marriage anymore because it's offensive. It's like, oh, no, nobody wants to talk about marriage. So let's just talk about like long-term commitment. What is that? Okay. Like, why is there a fear for, well, obviously marriage has become distorted again because through these narratives and the snowballing of ideologies, it has become devalued, disrespected, distorted. But that doesn't make it obsolete. It just means that we have to remember what it actually is. So marriage is a covenant, meaning it is a union under God. And people have forgotten that. That is why I teach it is important to have God as a foundation for a relationship. If you're going to call something a divine union, if you're going to call something a sacred union, you cannot delete God from that. Right. The next point is you have to unlearn some of the unconscious, like ideological beliefs and paradigms that we have received as imprints whether epigenetically. So some of us, we come from a lineage of ancestors that were in the thick of the sexual revolution, right? Epigenetics is real, like patterns are passed on womb to womb, right? So if we do not take responsibility that there are certain patterns and imprints that live inside of our bodies as trauma, some of it inherited from our own parental lines, then we will birth those patterns inside of our own relationships. And this goes into people who are triggered around marriage because their parents' marriages fell apart. So if we want to whole, which is my word for heal, right? Because to whole means you become integrated. There is integration, there is wholeness that happens. We have to whole our idea of what courtship is, of what dating is, and align that to what is observable truth, which is our biology. So I tell women, if you want to be provided for and courted, then you have to shed the identity that I'm an independent woman. I'm a boss babe. I am a like abundance priestess or whatever the new terminologies are these days. Because identities confer our what we birth, right? So if you say, oh, like I'm an independent woman, I'm a abundance priestess or goddess or whatever, which is fine, right? What are you birthing as an experience? What are the kind of men that are being attracted to that type of field? Teach a lot about the heart field, you know, because I use heart math as a modality and as a practice. And the heart field, scientists have measured it as a 6 feet radius, which is a generative sensation from the heart flowing outward. In very ancient lineages, they call that your aura. They call that your auric field, right? It's actually a biologically measured frequency, right? And so if you have a heart field that is, let's say, an inside of an experience that you create your reality, that's not true. You share reality with other people, right? But if you are emanating that type of like idea, then the type of people that you're going to attract into your life are people who are living inside of that same experience. So the whole like wave of polyamory right now, like, oh, it's all love. It's all like, we all like love each other. Why is it that during the sexual revolution, those types of relationships kind of fizzled out? Because there was no biological responsibility for the children. Women were just getting pregnant left and right, and there was no father figure, no provider to take care of the consequence of one's actions, right? So it's not sustainable. We're seeing that play out now in like red pill body count culture, in like hookup and, you know, how many girls, you know, women like boasting their own body counts. I mean, it's like repeating itself all over again in a different trend and embodiment inside of modernity, but it's the same fruit. You have fatherless children and you have unprovided for women.
There's actually a really, really, I just have to plug this in here. There's a really interesting book. It's called A Case Against the Sexual Revolution.
And I have that talks. Book.
You have that?
Yeah,
oh, I love it.
Terry. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. It is an amazing book. And I mean, it kind of ends with the fact of the importance of marriage, and it really explains the why behind it. And I think this book is just, it can be really uncomfortable to read, especially if you've been growing up in this, I guess, modern society in this culture that we're currently in.
Yeah.
But I think it's something so, so important to have a look at and to see how so many things that we feel like supposedly, or not even feel like, but that we are told that are freeing us, how they actually are a disservice to ourselves.
Absolutely. What frees women, actually, and this is not a quote by me, but this is a quote by a man called Sasha Tessick, and he's a teacher of like the biology of relationships. And he says, the deepest need of a woman is actually to be claimed. To actually be within, and he's talking in biology in terms of when she feels safe, it's because she feels like she is protected and she is witnessed. Bring that into marriage. That's what marriage is. It's you come into a permanent, hopefully, relationship with somebody who is a forever witness of you and to you. And we forget that because we avoid it, we skirt it under the guise of, I just want a long-term relationship, right? And when we live in the experience of not calling it marriage, we can't have the long-term, you know, like in essence, because we don't define it. Yeah. Marriage is a lifelong relationship, especially if you want to create a family that is going to be healthy. Children who have healthy imprints from a stable and strong father and a nurturing and soft mother. They need the reference point. And when you are married to somebody, we have to understand like why marriage was created 5,000 years ago. It's because human beings saw the utility in kind of like harnessing our animal instincts and putting it into something generative, not inconsequential. Animals in nature, they mate, but they don't pair bond. Human beings pair bond. And that's what makes us different from these whole like, oh, human beings are polygamous by nature, right? Maybe if we were living, you know, outside of the what we have created here in society, but we live inside societies. We live inside civilization. And civilization was created because families were created through the formation of the marriage relationship that created the nuclear family. And when we can have like that association with it, we can see the kind of like the, what is the word I'm looking for here? Like the co-creational aspect and the generative aspect of marriage versus a relationship that has no label on it, that has no declaration of what it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of already answered a part of the question that was forming in my head right now. But what would you say to someone who is kind of walking around and telling everybody that marriage is, I mean, it's not really possible, or at least it is bound to fail along the way, and probably, and there's so much around this out there, we will have multiple life partners across our lifetime. And for me, I get where they're coming from, and I see that there's a lot of that around us, but my heart feels like, it's like, I don't want that. And there's this deep desire that you just set to being claimed and held in that space for, I guess, forever, for a whole life span. And so I'm just wondering what your thoughts and what you would say.
So I can understand where they are coming from, because it is true. Marriage has been butchered. It has become very gynocentric when you get divorced. So men are fearing, even before they entertain the idea of marriage, they're fearing the potential outcome of a failed marriage, which is, okay, half my money will be taken and I will have no rights over my children, et cetera, et cetera. So what has to happen here is to really want to be married and to not get into it per chance. Like, oh, that's just the next step, right? It's not a next step. It is a conscious creation of a new familial unit, regardless of if you have physical children or not, okay? Because a man and a woman coming together, just like that verse in the Bible, and this is not just for Christians, okay? They are a generative force, right? A man and a woman coming together create love. That's the generative force between a man and a woman. That's why it feels so good to be in a relationship, both for them and for us who are women. But we have to start reorienting ourselves to what marriage has become because of what human beings have let it become, right? And what it really is. Because when you are living in the experience of marriage for what it really is, then those risks that people say that are not worth it and just avoid marriage, those risks are worth taking because there's enough self-responsibility in the both of you to do the work to stay married. That's why marriage is an initiation. It's not the finished product. It's just the beginning of a initiation to becoming a deep feminine woman and an exalted masculine man, right?
Yeah.
You decide to grow deeper with this person. You decide and you choose to be initiated by this person, and that person by you decides to be initiated by you. When we can see it as that, then when we have the so-called bumps in the road, or, you know, I've been counseling couples for many years now around like the 10th year or like the 9th year, there's like an itch of like, we're bored, we're kind of like a plateau. That's not a signal to break it up. That is an invitation to go even deeper and like, okay, we've reached a new level of depth that we can dive into. And so when we see marriage as generative versus, oh, it's the finish line of like a long-term relationship or boyfriend and girlfriend, then we orient it to what it really was meant and is meant to be, which is a initiation, yeah. A growth, a deepening of intimacy and love and passion and respect and love and cherishment.
And I think that's where what we said in the beginning, or I said in the beginning as well, mm-hmm. It comes in, like the whole importance of choosing the other person and like choosing this next step and this new chapter and continuing to choose that.
Yes.
And the feelings and emotions, they're one part, and yeah, they are important and they need to be there to some extent, but what you just said is so important as well. At some point they might not be there, and then it's important to be so committed to what you brought yourself into that to try at least to work on it and to work through it.
Yes.
Because otherwise, at every bump, we could just say like, okay, I'm out of here. And that's not the purpose of marriage. And I guess that's what you just said as well. That's where it becomes distorted, or it becomes something that has not its original meaning of, okay, yeah, this is just a natural step that we take now, and then we'll see how that goes. And then if we don't like each other, we'll just go back to where we came from. And that's not the purpose behind it.
Yeah.
So I think that's something so, so valuable that you shared there. And I can feel it in my heart that this is possible, especially, I mean, obviously, we can always find another person who has the same respect for that union that happens under God. And something that came to me while you were talking as well is that I do have this strong feeling that those marriage bonds and those units that we dive into and that we go into, that this is so important in this world that we're living in, because it makes us stronger as a family unit. And as individuals, we just aren't as strong. And we are just so easy to be influenced by everything that happens around us. So creating this healthy family bond and also being able to then birth children who have this as their grounds is just something so, so beautiful and so valuable to offer to this world that we're living in. Mm. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we can vet like a future partner or a future, you know, like husband, future father, the best thing that we can do for ourselves is to learn how to respect them. Because it's when we heal and whole our relationship with the masculine that we actually birth the feminine woman that we are innately within. We are remembering her. And yes, it's going to be confronting. Yes, it's going to be like, ooh, you know, like that's a little bit triggering for me. But the trigger is always the invitation to wholeness, to remembrance, to healing that fracture, right? In small ways and sometimes in really big ones, like challenges in your marriage, right? It's very fundamental that we also anchor ourselves in God as we navigate, you know, healing any fractures that we have with men, be it our fathers, our brothers, men who have legitimately hurt us, because it is true for women, some women have been hurt legitimately by men, to have a foundation in God, identity as like daughters of God, I find is already such a huge healing step forward for the feminine woman. Just having that as her identity already starts like the trajectory of so much more healing.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much. I have one very last question for you, which I ask everyone on here, and it's, is there one thing that you wish more humans would know about and that touches you deeply? And I mean, we talked about so much that could fall into this category, but maybe there's still something.
I feel like all humans would actually be whole and healed if they open themselves up to God loving them and that God loves them. I know that sounds, depending on who's hearing it, that can sound triggering, that can sound religious, that can sound like, oh, I'm not spiritual, I'm just a good person. But I find that because we are all seeking relationship, we're all seeking like a wholeness. And it's such a visceral part of our experience to feel whole. I feel like every human being would be opening themselves up and softening from within if they could see God like in the sunrise, see God in a person saying hello to them and greeting them. If they can see God in, you know, if you're a mother, you can see God in your child. Yeah. Your child's smile, if you can see God in your husband working hard for you. So I feel that that's what human beings would be so like nourished by. If maybe I don't believe in God in church or in my religion, but I see God in this person. Like I feel the presence of some kind of love and wholeness when I'm in a particular experience. I feel like even if you never went to church at all, if you felt God as love through the experiences of people and the sun shining on your face, the wind blowing through your hair, the breath that you take, that could already be so healing and holy for you.
Yeah, having that faith in all the beauty that surrounds you as well and in everything that you encounter. I only recently said that as well. I couldn't imagine myself, or I just wouldn't want to live in a world where I don't have faith in something, because it just would not feel right to me and it would not make sense to me at all. So I really love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so, so much for all the beautiful wisdom and ideas and thoughts that you shared on here. I really appreciate it so much. It feels so aligned, and I love that women are doing this work out there, that you're doing this work out there and really making a difference in relating, because I think that's at the core of who we are, as you also said. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Karina, for having me.